When I first came to Enniskillen almost 7 years ago, these 7 years in a few weeks' time, one of the first testimonies that I had was my father. I can't remember exactly when he came to give his testimony, but it was in the first year, I think. Definitely no later than the second year. As you know, 2 years ago, he went through a very major operation for cancer, and he has been really unwell ever since. We thank the Lord that in recent days he has begun to feel a wee bit better, and we do thank the Lord for that. And I know that many of you have been praying for him and have continued to pray for him, and we all have appreciated that, and I know that he has appreciated that as well. I thought that it would be good. He hasn't given us testimony from his major operation 2 years ago, and I thought it would be good to get him into harness again and to get him doing a wee bit of work for the Lord again. And that's why I've invited him along tonight. So I'm delighted that he's here, and I pray that the Lord will bless us all through his testimony. Again, I know that perhaps many of you have heard it before, but it's always good to be brought up to date. You know, a testimony is not so much what the Lord has done for us, yet it involves that. There's no doubt about that. But the testimony is right up to date. It should be right up to today. What the Lord has done for me today. Child of God, what has the Lord done for you today? He saved you 10 years ago. He saved you 20 years ago. But what has the Lord done for you today? How are you walking with God today? That's the question I believe that God's people need to ask themselves more and more in these days in which we live. It's imperative that we look back to a day when we were saved. Imperative. Because if we can't look back to a day when we were saved, then we're not saved. But you know, the Lord leads us from that day up until the present day and on until we leave this scene of time. And a testimony should be brought right up to date. I'm going to ask him to come now, my dad to come now, and he's going to tell us how he was saved and how the Lord had mercy on him even all those many years ago. And then he's going to tell us how the Lord has seen him through the sickness in recent years.
Well, it's good to be back again in Bethel. It's good to be here in health and strength tonight. A couple of years ago, things looked bleak for me. But I can praise God that He has put His hand on me and touched me. And I'd like to thank John for the opportunity again to come here and praise the Lord and tell what great things He has done for me. I'd like to thank the session here as well for allowing me to come and for the people that are here tonight. So I praise God for salvation. I want to read some verses, and I'll be talking about this scripture later on. Verses the Lord has given me from the time I was sick up until now. I want to read them to you. They can be found in Acts chapter 27. I want to read four verses, 21 to 25. Acts 27. Verses 21 down to 25. And God's word says, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told him." And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word tonight. Now, I was born into this world like everyone else, a sinner. And my mother and father were saved, and I was sent along to church and Sunday school from as a very young age. And it was there in the Sunday school class, as a 5-year-old child, and on upward to I was 14, that I heard the good news of the gospel. And one verse of scripture that always stayed with me was John chapter 3 and the verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So very early in life, from a faithful Sunday school teacher, I knew I needed to be saved. I had a mother that was saved as long as I can remember, and she always exhorted her children to go to the house of God. And we were brought up to attend church. We were brought up to any children's missions and meetings that were in the area. Were sent along to them. And there was a wee gospel hall beside us, and we were sent along there on a Sunday night. I can remember my father getting saved. He got saved in a prayer meeting. I would have been about 12 years of age at the time, and I remember my father was a very heavy drinker, and I remember him getting saved on a Thursday night. He walked into the meeting coming from a public house and got gloriously saved in a prayer meeting. God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And I can remember the next Thursday night. I suppose people, I would say, around that district and around our area would have said that it wouldn't last long. But I can remember the next Thursday night we were walking in a neighbour's hay field. And it came about 7:30 in the evening, and I could see my father walking out of the hay meadow and going down. We lived a short distance from where we were walking, and seeing my father get ready and go down to the prayer meeting. That was only a week after he was saved, and he ended up running that wee meeting up until almost the time he died. But I was growing on in years, and come to teenage years, starting to walk. And I remember promising myself that I'd never come into the house to waste a drink. I saw my brothers drinking, and I saw other people drunk, and my father drinking. But I always said that I'd never let my mother see me to waste a drink. And I kept that promise for some time. But I got that I got to the stage that I loved to stay in a public house. And I started to come in the worst of drink. And my mother always set up to every one of us come into the house. We're all out late. And she would have set up to all hours of the morning waiting on us coming in. But I thank God that my mother was praying for me. And I thank God also that God had mercy on me. At the age of 16, I was involved in a serious accident. Way in Newcastle on a Sunday, came back, and me and another young man and a couple of girls parked the car beside a river. And the car went down that river bank, about 15 foot of a drop into the river, and I was caught in underneath the car. And it's a miracle that that car didn't come right over on top of me. And during that time, and I want to warn people tonight, and I've said this many times in my testimony, and I knew I needed to be saved from an early age, but during that time and under that car, maybe 10 minutes before I was brought out, that never at any time did I think of God or the things of God or getting saved. And God was merciful to me that night and brought me through that. And that wasn't a lesson to me. And young people, I want to say it tonight. I was disobedient to my parents. The things that my parents brought me up in and told me to do, and things that they told me to stay away from, I got involved in drinking and gambling and all the sins of this old world that I could be involved in. And I thank God tonight that people prayed for me, and God had mercy on me. But time wore on, and I got married, and you know, when you get married, you should settle down in life. But I seemed to get involved more in the things of the world. Got very deeply involved in drinking, gambling, and other worldly things. Got into trouble many times. Caused trouble, even in the home when I was a worse of drink. But God had his hand on my family as well. And I think John was the first in our family that was saved. At 13 years of age, John was saved in a mission on the Brownstown Road. And I believe that had a great influence in my life. Because I could see, even as a young person, the change in John's life. And the example he set. And I'm not saying that because he's my son. I'm saying that because that's the truth. And he was attending the Church of Ireland, the Sunday school and the Bible class there. And John, when he got saved, wanted to go to the Free Church. He was saved in that mission on the Brownstown Road, and he wanted to go to the Free Church. And he went. And then, as you all know, he went into the Whitfield College. And he was a great influence to our whole family. And I thank God that God saved him early in life. It's a miracle, you know, too, that a young person gets saved. It's a blessing. And the first one in our family, my wife nor me, wasn't saved. None of my other children were saved. But gradually, the other children got saved. I think it was Gloria and Colin. And then I got saved. And then Paul and Wendy. The five children are saved, and their husbands and wives are saved. Some of my grandchildren are saved. And surely this is God's mercy on our family. And it's a great privilege to know that someday we're going to meet our loved ones in heaven. What a blessing that is, to know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But John and the Reverend David Park had a mission in Robertsonstown. And I attended that mission regularly. And it was on the final night of that mission that I heard that verse of scripture that I learned at Sunday school. And the Reverend Park preached on that verse, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And that's God's word. That's not the preacher's word or the Sunday school teacher's word. That is the word that the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus. Never see heaven except you're saved. And I left that meeting that evening, and the Reverend Park challenged me at the door going out through the tent. It was a tent mission. And he said, "Will you not think about getting saved?" And I said, "No, not now." And then up on my home that later that day, he challenged me again. And I thank God for the faithfulness of that preacher. He was faithful. That's good. A man of God challenging an ungodly person. And he knew what my life was like. He knew the life I was living. But he still challenged me. But I didn't get saved that time. But about 2 weeks after that, I was in a public house as usual. I'd been in trouble with the police. and poured it down. During the time the parades were banned down at Woodhouse Street, down the tunnel, and I got involved in trouble and rioting. And I had about 5 summonses. But I was up at the court that day, and I came home and I went to the pub. But it was in that public house that night, late at night, that God spoke to me. And he showed me the emptiness. God really spoke to me. He showed me the emptiness of the life I was living. A dead end life. There was nothing in it. Every time you went out, you were expecting something, and there was nothing there. You were living a dead end life. And I remember getting up and walking home, about 2 miles home. And when I got into my home, everybody was in bed. And I can remember clearly the conviction in my life. And I knew I needed to talk to somebody. And I believe that God was giving me my last opportunity to get saved. Many, many missions I sat in and rejected the mercy of God. Went out with tears and went away to the pub after leaving a mission, a gospel meeting, to get away and hide out of the way of God. But I got in touch with John. He was living in Belfast on Sunday Row, and I rang him. And John pointed me to the Lord Jesus that night. Early that morning. It was early in the morning. And from that day, from that time in my life, I never had any desire for the things of the world. The drink and the gambling and all the worldly things were under the precious blood that night. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And when God touches you, he really touches you. Now, many's the time I've let the Lord down. Many times. But he has never failed me yet. He promised me, and he promises every soul that comes to him, when he saves them, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. That's a great promise that God gives his people. Fear not, God says, to each one of us tonight that's saved in this meeting. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I remember going into Portadown with my wife the next day. Every weekend I'd have been heading for the pub. But I had no desire to go to the pub. I was saved, born again. I remember going to Belfast with John that day. They were opening some hall in Belfast. I think it might have been the hall that Everett Smith preaches in now, Sunday Row, or there's another hall there, some of them places. But friends, I have got joy and peace and satisfaction in my heart today. And even in the trouble and the sickness that I have been in, God has helped me through it. And it's wonderful, it's a joy to be here tonight, and it's a joy to tell others about Jesus, the mighty to see him. Now, I've been involved in outreach work and a lot of things in Bethany. I was away in Scotland twice with the Reverend Gregory McCammon. And they don't even, some of them hadn't even heard about the Lord Jesus in their 70s and 80s. I find that hard to believe, but they asked you, who's that? What are you talking about? And we had some great times round the doors. And we give invitations out. I don't know many homes we visited. But very few people came to the meeting. We need revival. And when you look down tonight adaptive views in this church, we need revival. When I came up here in the pulpit tonight and looked down, this place shouldn't be big enough for the crowd that should be coming in here. I believe that. And prayer is the answer to all our problems. I believe. I want to tell you the story of my life this last 2 years. And I want to start by telling you, I did a wee bookshop in December 2003. It was Spurgeon's Morning and Evening Reading. And I saw this book sitting. And it was almost new. And I bought it. I gave £2 for it. Little did I know that this book was going to be a real blessing to me. Now, I didn't know that at this time that I had cancer, because it was December 2003. And it was about that time that I felt a slight pain in my right shoulder and my neck. It didn't hinder me from doing my walk. But I decided to go to the doctor. And I went just before Christmas. And the doctor said to me, you pulled a muscle in your shoulder. And she put me in a month's tablets. And I finished the course of tablets and I was no better. Didn't hinder my walking. It was only a wee niggly pain. And I went back again. And she decided to send me to the hospital, to the treadmill. She said maybe there's something wrong with your heart. I went and I passed all the tests. And I went back again to the doctor. Everything was clear. And she said, we've got to send you for an x-ray. So, about the middle of March, I was sent for an x-ray. I went to this doctor and he sat me down. And he questioned me about the sort of the pain I had. Well, I says, it's not a very severe pain, but it's a pain I never had before. And the only time I felt that pain was when I wakened in the morning. Whatever way I lay on it, it was aggravating it. And when I wakened in the morning, it was there. And then it went away. And I explained this to the doctor, and he was very nearly not sending me for an x-ray. I believe it was just touch and go where he sent me for an x-ray. And he says, well, we'd better send you then for an x-ray. Now, that was in the middle of March. 5 weeks later, I got word to come into the hospital. And the doctor said to me, we've got word about your x-rays, and we've saw a shadow in your lung. Now, that didn't alarm me in the least. I didn't think it very serious. But then she started to ask me questions about my family. Was there any history of cancer in my family? And I said no, not that I knew, but there was an uncle of mine about 40 years ago, I said, had cancer. Well, she says, we think that there's something in your lung and we want to do a scan. She says it didn't show up in the blood test or any other tests were done, but it's showing up in the x-ray. So that was about the 7th of April. About the 9th of April, I was called in again. And the scan showed up a 2-inch tumour on my right lung. And that's what was causing this wee pain. Didn't affect me walking for after I got the test and all, I went back to my walk. And walked away up to the time I went in for the operation. But the Good Friday morning, the doctor called me and my wife in and explained this. And he says to me, you have a tumour in your lung and we're going to have to operate. But he says, we believe that we can operate and be successful. Well, I says, that's good, like. But I says, I'm 60 years of age, and I says, the Lord has been good to me. I never was sick in my life, and now I was. Only sickness that I brought on myself through carelessness. Well, he says, it's great to have faith like that, that the Lord's good. And I'll tell you this, the Lord is good. That was on the 9th, and he says to me, you have to come in on Tuesday. Well, I says, I can because I'm going away on a holiday, going over to my daughter's. He says, go ahead and enjoy yourself. He says to myself, I might not enjoy myself, but I'll go on a holiday. He says, as soon as you come back, come in. So, that was Friday. And Saturday morning, first of all, I rung Mr. Elliott and told the family what was wrong. John was a great support to me at that particular time. When you get news like that, I often wondered. I'd heard people been diagnosed with this awful disease called cancer, and I used to say to myself, what would I feel like if I was told that I had cancer? And funny enough, I was all right. I wasn't that bad. But it's good to talk to people. And Mr. Elliott came around and John came up, and they were a great help to me that evening. But that doctor told me that he would be in Belfast and he would be in touch with a surgeon that was going to do my operation. And he was to ring me at 5 o'clock, and he did ring me at 5 o'clock that Friday evening. And he told me that he was talking to the surgeon and they could operate and be successful. Now, that was a good start. That was very encouraging for me. And I had been with my own doctor, and he said that they can usually do a good job in these operations, and that was encouraging too. But the next day, I had been reading these morning and evening scriptures by Spurgeon. And the next morning, I read this portion of scripture that I have read to you tonight. And the verse says that there be no loss of life. When I read this, and I asked the Lord, was this for me? Now I went across to England, and I didn't sleep very well for the first couple of nights, but I got back to this scripture. And I read it. And I questioned God on it. And he led me. It says, Paul says, I believe God. Now God has said this to me the very next day. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And I sung unto that verse the very next day. Now, if you look, I want you to look at Numbers 23. This is where this verse led me. To Numbers 23 and verse 9. And if you look at that verse, and it has been a real blessing to my soul. Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He has said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Now, every test and every scan that I have got has been clear. And John, I think John was down with me, the scan I got just after the operation. on the scan was clear. And every scan since and every test that I have got has been all clear. And I believe that God's word is good. And it's been an encouragement to me. Now, I went into the hospital and they made a date for me to go in for the operation. And that was to be the 2nd of June. And I was called in on the 31st of May. Now, I was reading this book again. And the verse that God gave me that day that I was brought into the hospital was Psalm 103 and verse 3. And we'll read it together. Psalm 103 and verse 3. And I was encouraged by all these verses. The Lord was speaking to me. Psalm 103 and verse 3. And it says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." And I praise God tonight, thus far, that God has had his hand on me. And I'm here tonight, and I feel well. I feel as good now. I'm not as strong as I was, but I feel as good now as I was long before I had my operation. And God has been good to me. The Bible says, and I think I quoted that verse earlier, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we are to trust in the Lord. I remember just after the operation, there was 2 nights I didn't get any sleep. And they couldn't understand why, because I was getting severe painkiller, and it wasn't working because one of the wee joints had come out that was putting the painkiller through to my wound was disjointed, and one of the nurses caught this on, and I remember quoting Psalm 23 to myself. And I remember thinking what Christ had gone through. And I was suffering a severe pain. And I remember saying to the Lord, "You went through 1,000 times worse pain than this." And I was in agony. But I said the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Christian can say this without a shadow of a doubt. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And all trouble, we shall not want. And anybody here tonight that's not saved, I want to give you encouragement tonight. No matter how far you are from the Lord, maybe you go to church, and maybe you think by going to church you're good enough, and that's good. But you need to be saved. There's a verse of scripture in Luke chapter 10 and the verse 20, and it says the 70 disciples were out and they came back and they were rejoicing in things that they had done for the Lord. The Lord Jesus said to them, "Rejoice not in these things, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And I praise God tonight that my name is written in heaven. And I one day will meet my parents. I don't know how long we'll have to live. My own doctor said to me, "You know, you have this disease," and he encouraged me all the way, but he says, "Many a person has cancer and they die of a heart attack." And that's true. And I have been thinking this last while how many people, and young people, have died and been killed this past 2 years from I was diagnosed with cancer. Thousands of people, and I'm still here. And God has been merciful to me. And is there anybody here that has any doubts? Maybe you're saved and you're having doubts about things and your problems. Take them to the Lord. And if God gives you a verse, you keep him to his word. I'm telling you. God says in his word, call unto me. In Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, God says, call unto me and I will answer thee. That's a promise. And I have been doing that. I'll tell you what. When God gives you a promise, he can't lie. And if you bring that back to him, he'll honour it. I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Maybe somebody has worries here tonight. God can lift every burden if you ask him. Think of the woman going to the unjust judge. Some of us brings a prayer to God and we'll go once to God. The woman went to the unjust judge and he didn't listen to her for a couple of times. But she kept going back and going back. And he says, I better answer this woman, lest she weary me. Are we wearying God with our prayers tonight? Even the unsaved, you can call on God tonight. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise from God. But there's a warning in God's word too. And with that I'm finished. In Hebrews chapter 2, I think it is, in verse 3, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I want you, unsaved person in this meeting tonight, to ask, to say this, how shall I escape if I neglect so great salvation? This word that we have in our hand is God's word, and it will never pass away. The psalmist said, thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. We'll be judged out of this book. But I praise God tonight that I have a testimony to give, and I thank God that he has kept his hand on me, on the promise he made to me when he saved me. He has kept it. But God takes you to the side. He takes you to the one side and he chastises you. And he reminds you that he is God. Sometimes we go on ourselves and forget about God, even as Christians. And I believe that God, through my illness, has made me a better Christian and has given me a greater desire to serve him and a greater desire for prayer and reading his word. He's took me aside and I'm reading more. But I want to thank you tonight for listening to me and these few stumbling words. And again I say, if you're not saved, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen.
Amen. Let's have a wee word of prayer.